I promised you we would get caught up with Mike Trotsky today, and that's exactly what we're going to do. He is one of the co-founders of Sproutbox and the CEO of Cheddar. Where you at, my man? How you doing?
Right here, man. Good to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for coming in. I know we got a million things going on, which is always fun. Did you have a good weekend? Did you get downtown amongst it on Saturday with did you get fallooning? Were you a fallunatic?
Surprisingly, I missed it. It looked like a blast. But
where were you at?
My business partner and I went down. My business partner, Brad Whistler, he's got 30 acres of property down by French Lick, and we had planned a trip down there. I built a woodshed. And then ate dinner at like 12:15 a.m. when we got it done, and then drank a bottle of bourbon, and then came home.
Well, there you go.
So it was a good time.
So everybody had a good time
down there camping out.
Oh, that's, we had perfect weather for it too. Like, we had perfect weather for everything that was going on here. You're also a founder of the Combine. That's where we've talked to you before about the entrepreneurship and all the great thing that happens here. And you're a board member at the Mill. What's the Mill been doing all summer? Has it been quiet, or have I just been out of the loop? And that's why I'm bringing you in today, buddy.
No, it hasn't been quiet. There's always great stuff going on at the Mill. With what Pat does is amazing over there. The biggest news that happened this summer was John Fernandez joining. I don't know if you guys talked about that at all.
We did.
John joined the Mill, and obviously that was, what, 3-4 months ago. That was a big coup, big pickup. Obviously, having formerly been the highest economic development officer in the country, then coming and working to make those 12 acres of the Mill really pop is a huge win, I think, for us and for Bloomington. And
us what John Fernandez does for somebody who's maybe not as involved in it as I am. We understand that his experience, and is his job to recruit? Is his job to manage? Tell me how that
the
works.
The biggest thing, there's two big components right now. There's the tech center, which that's another thing that's happened, you know, this summer. The council approved funding for the tech center, in addition to the grant that was received from the federal government. So he's managing that project, right? The build of the new tech center, which will be just catty-corner to the Mill. But he's also kind of, you know, the way Pat explained it is he's almost kind of like a CEO of the trades district, you know, where there's a lot happening at the Mill, but there's all that land out there in front of Upland that's just sitting there, right? And so there's a lot of potential and opportunity with that space. And he's really been tasked with marketing those properties, finding projects to go there, and helping kind of massage those into a place that they're, something that the city as a whole would really benefit from. So that's his main task. Like, for example, you know, we bought the Kiln building, me and some other partners, just north of the Mill, and we're renovating that. And we're working with him on a new, like, tradesdistricts.com website that will list all the different sites there, including the leasable space in the Kiln, and he can help market that out to the rest of the world.
How important is it, the private business and city, or Pat East, I know who you're referring to, how important is that partnership to make this area work? You can't have really one or the other, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the city owns the land, right? So back in the Cruzan administration, the land in the Tech Park was predominantly the core acreage of it, of the Tech Park designation, which is a designation from the state that allows tax dollars, increment financing, capture, right, of tax dollars in that space. They own the land. So they're, in this particular case of developing the Tech Park, they're obviously, everything's going to be a private public partnership. They're critical to the whole process. And so it'll be interesting to see with the new administration, you know, what, if anything, changes with the vision for the Tech Park. But it's very dependent on sort of working together of both the city government and the local tech folks like me who are interested in seeing things happen, right? Seeing more and more companies get built, seeing more and more people be able to, like, pursue their dream, right? Say, I want to be a founder of this. This is my idea. I want to take that forward. Trying to figure out how the city and the private sector can work together to make that possible for more people.
Is John Fernandez an appointed person here?
He's hired. He's okay. Actually, the way it ended up getting structured, and there was lots of conversations about how to structure it, but he is hired by the Mill. And the city actually provided some funding to help the Mill be able to afford to hire and have John. He obviously was working and didn't, so he took a pay cut, I think, to do what he did. But it still wasn't something that was necessarily initially on the Mill's radar to have that opportunity. And so we had to work together with the city and Pat negotiated a deal there that worked for everybody for us to be able to bring him on.
Mike Trotsky is my guest this afternoon, one of the founders of Sprout Box. He runs Cheddar, all the fun stuff. You guys are way too smart for your own good. So this area that is developing, and it's just you're trying to be a Midwestern hub, a national hub. Who are you targeting to bring to Bloomington to grow their stuff, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a combination, right? There's a desire to bring in companies from outside to potentially have their headquarters here to be able to provide additional sort of high-paying jobs for folks in Bloomington. But there's also, at least for me personally, there's a big desire to kind of build our own, right? To create companies here that have impact, not just companies that serve other people. Bloomingtonians are great, but it's really exciting to me when I see a company that is serving, the entire Midwest or the entire world out of Bloomington. Obviously, that's good because it brings additional dollars into our economy. But it also, is, like I said earlier, it's the vision and the dreams of folks. You know, we were talking like, and it's a mixture of, to me, it's a mixture of tech and other things. You know, I'm in tech. I'm a recovering software engineer, right? So like,
right?
I'm much more, I have a lot more understanding of that side of it. But any kind of business, I mean, businesses like, I get excited about businesses like Cardinal and Upland and those things being involved in the Mill and Trade District because they're building a brand that's sold, all across the country. And that's really, really exciting.
So this is more of like the either the birthplace of the idea or it can be the corporate headquarters. There are really no rules to this, is there?
Yeah, I mean, Bloomington is a really great place to start something. And that's something that even in founding Sprout Box at the beginning, something that I've always believed. It has the right mix of creativity here. We just haven't necessarily sort of figured out how to make that a sustainable economic development engine, right? Like, and I think over the last decade or so, we're getting closer and closer to really being able to capitalize on the vibe here is even when we did Sprout Box, which we brought entrepreneurs from all over the country into Sprout Box to work for a few months here in Bloomington on their companies, and all of them were like, this is amazing. Like, this is, for me, it's what I thought Palo Alto was like. I thought when I was going to go out to the Silicon Valley and I'd walk around downtown and I'd see, Steve Jobs sitting over here having a conversation with Bill Gates, but it's, truthfully, when you go to Palo Alto, it's a bunch of giant office buildings that you have to get in a car to drive between from Facebook to Google. Downtown Bloomington actually has the vibe that I think everybody desires in that kind of startup space. And now we're just kind of catching up with the products and technology that can come from that creativity.
Mike Trotsky is our guest this afternoon talking about all great things happening here in Bloomington. You mentioned the new administration. How much of a change is that going to be? You've got a handful of new council members. We're obviously going to have a new mayor. Did we see in the campaigning into the primary before we know who's going to win the November election? We've done the math on this.
Sure.
Let's all just get to that point. Were there things in the campaigning between the three candidates earlier that was exciting for you to hear, or is this going to be something that you have to sell to the new perhaps council members and new mayor?
No, I don't think so. I think all three of the candidates, the mayoral candidates, were excited about what's happening in the tech park. I mean, obviously there are concerns all the way along the way. Like, we have to make sure that, our activity in Tech Park doesn't adversely sort of gentrify the neighbors around and push people out that are living it. Like, there's lots of things that you have to be very cognizant of when you're trying to, do the sort of economic development activity. But on the whole, I think, everybody is excited about it. All of the mayoral candidates certainly were. Obviously, Don in particular. Don is who I work with at the Redevelopment Commission for many of these projects, including the Kiln project. And Susan has always been a supporter in the council. And then, of course, Carrie, I think probably in many ways is the sort of most aligned in terms of vision for the tech park. with at least me personally, which is a little bit more, I think, than John, who's obviously been the driving factor on it. He's always been a little bit more interested in the office park side of it, where I've been interested in something more like the Bottle Works District up in Indianapolis, that is more of a live work environment. And so I think, you know, there's small shifts like that in kind of what the vision looks like, but on the whole, I think, you know, it's a pretty clear positive thing that you know, everybody's working and striving in the same direction towards here in Bloomington.
Now, you mentioned Cardinal Spirits earlier. They are expanding. They are busy, and they've got a little help. Tell me who swooped in there and what's going on now at Cardinal.
Well, Cardinal just raised a little bit of money. They have a round open. They just announced this week that they raised some money from IU Angel Network, which is headed by IU Ventures. In fact, I just had lunch today with Jason Whitney, who is running IU Ventures over there. IU Angel Network obviously looks for it's a group of angel investors that are looking for alumni or IU-related businesses, and obviously Cardinal is definitely one of those, with some of their founding team being IU alumni and grads. They decided to put some money in their most recent round. I've obviously been a huge fan of Cardinal Spirits. Their CEO, Adam Quirk, used to work for Sprout Box. I met him in Austin, Texas, and eventually convinced him to move here in Bloomington. And that was a decision that every part of me but my liver is excited about, because that went on to make Cardinal, which is, you know, my favorite thing. The other big thing they did, and I don't know how many bottles they got left, but they released their 5-year whiskey this last Wednesday, just over a week ago, or maybe just last week. Yeah, I picked up a couple bottles, and their single malt whiskey is my favorite product that they make, but it's in limited supply because they're making it just there, you know, on site at Cardinal. It's not sourced from MGP like a lot of whiskeys that you get from other brands are. It's made right there. It's excellent. It's made more like a scotch. But that's the kind of thing that this investment is kind of specifically going into, to expand their. That's what I'm kind of most excited about. I mean, they're doing contract bottling and canned cocktails, which is stuff they're doing now that goes really well. But I'm excited that they're going to be able to use investment dollars to expand their bourbon and whiskey offering.
What's
you know, that's pretty expensive. It's got to sit there.
Yes,
for a long time.
That's the whole point. It's not expensive to make. It's expensive to store and get all the things to to get in there to do that. What? Help me out. What's the difference between an angel investor and a venture capitalist?
Well, it's kind of like there are various stages, right? So
okay.
People talk about the pre-seed. That's before your seed round of financing, and that's traditionally done with individuals. They say, you know, call them like high net worth individuals. So that's folks who just have money. They're not
looking to make more
investors.
Yeah.
They're not professional. They're not necessarily professor investors. They're usually individuals. And they're people who are active in the, in things like networks, like the IU Angel Network, where they haven't necessarily, typically an angel investor doesn't have a direct committed a dollar amount. They meet, they see deals, and they say, "Ooh, I'm interested in that. I'll join in, and invest, you know, anywhere from 10 to $100,000 probably is a typical kind of angel investment in Indiana. Higher dollar amounts out on the coast, right? And so that's like your usually you have your friends, family, and fools is what they call it, right? Your first set of money that you bring in is like, I'm going to quit my job. I'm either going to put my own money in, or maybe my friends and family are going to put a little bit. Then you might talk to some angel investors in town that you didn't necessarily know before that make those that kind of get you. And usually that money is designed to get you to the point where you have a product that you're starting to sell. And once you get to that point, then you can go out to a more traditional venture capital firm, which is, you know, a more professional full-time organization that's looking to invest in companies that have some traction. So they actually have some revenue and they have some history, even if it's a little bit at that seed stage, that's who you go to then. So it's a different class and different type of investor, because now you're dealing with not someone who's probably investing in you personally because they know you or have heard of you or know you in the community. It's someone who's looking at your results and making a decision. And that kind of enters more into the VC realm. if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Mike Trotsky helping us make sense of local business and everything that's happening here in Bloomington. Well, let's shift it, shall we? We talk about Cardinal spirits. How important is it for Lemonade Day to
I want to say one
Oh, good. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
About Cardinal, it's unique, is they're doing a WeFunder campaign. And so individuals, even not accredited investors, so typically to be an angel investor, you have to have a certain net worth or income. But there's a thing that happened during the Obama administration that's kind of finally come into fruition called Regulation CF, crowdfunding, that allows people to make direct investments into local companies up to $2,000 a year, I believe it is, for without being accredited. So you can make a $100 investment, you can make a $10,000 investment, whatever you feel like. They're up, and that's worth checking out, I think, for individuals, because it's a unique opportunity to actually invest in something local and to be part of this sort of angel and venture capital world without dipping your toe too far in and give you some exposure to that. So that's a WeFunder.
So WeFunder is like GoFundMe, but for business.
Yeah, but it's for actual equity. It's not like I'm just, hey, I'm giving this money to them to get a Kickstarter benefit or something like that, or just as a donation. It's actually on a convertible note, which would take an hour to explain, but you're getting a stake and a true investment in the growth of Cardinal Spirits. And if you believe the valuation that they're offering the note at lines up to the worth of the company, that you can actually get a true return on that investment, which is a really neat thing. That literally individuals can participate in that directly is really cool.
Interesting. Well, you can find Cardinal Spirits on the old internet, and they'll show you exactly
yep.
where to go to help or be a part of. Well, not help, help yourself, help them, and help yourself.
Exactly.
But Lemonade Day is our next generation of entrepreneurs,
yep.
and I know that's exciting for you, and that's coming up not this weekend. It's Father's Day weekend this weekend, but next weekend, the final weekend of June. Tell me all about it. We've been doing Lemonade Stand forever. Why is this important
to you?
You
go out for that?
What's that?
Do you ever go around to the stand?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done it for years. I'm not super involved with that. It's actually when I was just thinking about things to talk about here, like what's happening this month that's exciting, I remind myself that I keep needing to get more and more engaged with Lemonade because it's Lemonade Day because I think it's freaking awesome. It's June 24th. I think there's going to be like 30 or 40 Lemonade stands out everywhere. There's some in Ellisville, but mostly, a bunch in downtown Bloomington. And it's just a great program because I've worked a little bit on the edges, volunteering to be either an investor, or help with the business side. The kids in Lemonade Day, there was a thing at the mill where they got together and sort of learned about how business works. They got to go out and they raise money. They figure out, they put together a business plan, how many lemons they need to buy, how much sugar, what their price point's going to be, if it's going to be a premium product or not, all those conversations, just like you have, in software, but just talking about lemonade. Then they have to raise money to buy their ingredients, and they pay back their investors. They go through that whole process. And obviously it's a fun thing to do, but it's also just a great, great learning experience. And I always want to get as many people out there buying lemonade. I feel like I get waterlogged drinking as much lemonade as I do on that day. Going
please stay hydrated. That's a good news.
It's like filling up your eyes. You're like, oh boy.
Yep.
I might have to dump that one out, but I'm still buying it, right? So
exactly.
Yeah, get out there and buy a whole bunch of lemonade at Lemonade Day for sure.
And that's a fun part of it as well. It teaches you to save some, spend some, and donate some. So all the great great angles of life. The Monroe County Lemonade Day is coming up June 24th. It's Saturday. You can learn more at lemonadeday.org/Monroe County. And all of that stuff is easy to find. And most everybody knows somebody who's putting a stand up. So you will not be left out. If you are out and about on Saturday the 24th at all of the major places where you think people are in town, there will be lemonade stands. And as you mentioned, all across the county. All right. So people here in Bloomington, you are going to tell me about an IT academy, Code IT. It's an upskilling.
Yep, Coded Academy.
Yeah. We know our friends at Ivy Tech help out getting people accredited or moving them up in their job field. This is also, where is this happening? What's going on and who needs to know about this?
Well, so this is a project that was funded by the READY grant. It's been around for a while, but the Regional Economic Acceleration and Development Initiative, which was a state-funded set of dollars that's administered by, so many acronyms, by ROI. I happen to be Regional Opportunities Initiative, which is administered by the Community Foundation. I happen to be sitting in the Community Foundation right now because that's where my wife works, and I'm meeting with them to help them figure out their file-serving situation at four. But yeah, they funded a $1.3 million grant that covers this not just for Monroe County, but also for Crawford County and Washington County. It is a upskilling program, as you mentioned. Specifically, this one this summer is going to be in web development. And what's really amazing about it is it requires no experience whatsoever. So it's expecting people who are just interested in maybe changing careers or finding out more about the web and technology. You learn, you know, the basics, HTML and CSS, and some information about how to build mobile first responsive designs. And if that stuff doesn't mean anything to you, that's what the class is for, right? So it's one of these things where it's like, don't be afraid if you're interested in looking into maybe a higher paying opportunity and shifting around what you do. You can literally come from anywhere. If you live in one of those three counties, you can apply. And you get, it's a 10-week course, meets a couple times a week in the evenings. So if you work, it's still, it's like, you know, usually 7:30 or 5:30. It's, you usually need to put maybe 8 or 10 hours out a week outside of class, working on it. But with no experience, you can leave there, with a basic understanding of how that stuff works. Which you can take to potentially even get a job out of that or build upon it yourself to start learning more and building more. So it's a really great program. It's completely free to everybody who applies. The next session, I think, starts July 11th. And the deadline is coming up to apply. I think it's June 23rd. So, yeah, I just want to make sure everybody knows about that. And if you're interested in getting in tech and you're not part of any of that, this is the way, man. It's free. It's well executed by folks at the mill, and you'll learn a lot and not pay anything.
That's the better part. It just, you try it for free, and then when after the 10 weeks is over, do you have people at the mill that help push you into that direction or lead you?
Yeah, my good friend Michelle Cole. She just joined. She was the chief operating officer at Envisage, which is a huge exit we had here in Bloomington recently. They sold. She is now spending time helping do exactly that. She's helping connect people coming out of code school with the rest of the technology industry in Bloomington and working on making the curriculum match the things that you know they're looking to hire for and placing people coming out of it. So, I mean, yeah, it's a huge opportunity. It's kind of a front door into that tech world. If you always see it and you're like, well, why am I not part of that? I don't even know what's going on. This is, I think, a great way for folks to apply to be part of it.
CodeITacademy.org for more information there. And again, you need to be signed up a week from Friday, June 23rd. So that, again, it might not be you. It might be somebody you know. It might be somebody you know that just got finished with school and said, you know, this isn't for me. Well, it's free. Try it out. I don't know what other free things we can give you, but free is good. Ivy Tech's got great free things. You've got great free things. All we're trying to do is get people into something that makes them happy and makes our town more productive. That's about the long and short of it, isn't it?
Stuff they want to do that they love doing. That's what we want to do.
Well, and we know you love helping us out, and I appreciate your time. You're there at the Community Foundation. I know you got to get to work here in a minute, so I'm going to let you go. We're going to do this again because if we just knocked out 20 minutes, barely taking a breath, I know there's other things going on, and I don't want to do this once a quarter. That's not enough. I'll be in touch, buddy. Let's have you back on sometime in July.
All right, sounds good.